Hello, creative people. Welcome to Creative Conversations. My name is Hollis Citron, and we are so happy that you have chosen to spend this hour with us. So I am owner and founder of I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing, and I am on a mission to expand the definition of creativity beyond a pencil and a paintbrush and empower people, especially adults, to own their voice that come in so many different forms. So this space was created to talk with people with all different jobs, hobbies, and interests, and have conversations about experiences and perspectives, all centered around three questions. One, how do you define creativity? Two, how do you incorporate it into your life? And three, why do you think it's important? Then we have a free-flowing conversation, and we see where it goes. So I have had the opportunity to talk to musicians, Reiki masters, mediums, doctor, lawyer, real estate agents, and so many more. And these conversations explore the reality that creativity is not cute, it is necessary. People have defined creativity as their soul's essence, courage, imagination, basically all that we are and want to be. So sharing these stories expands one's thinking and opens up self-expression to feel more empowered, connected, and dare I say, happy. My inspiring guest for today
is Dr. Tina Tickler-Welsom. Tina, aka Dr. Tina Tickler-Welsom, is a doctor of physical therapy, owner of The Key to Wellness and The Key to Publishing. She's a holistic life transformation coach and an international best-selling author. Decades of professional experience with patients, students, and clients, as well as her own personal life journey, make her coaching effective, efficient, and easily integrated into your life. Tina, welcome to the space.
Hi there. How are you tonight?
I am good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. So excited to be here and loving that we're talking about creativity because it's a great topic.
Well, thank you. I cannot wait to dive into it with you. But before that, I just want to let people know, I want to welcome the people that are here live. Thank you so much for being here. Only the people that I've invited into the space are the ones that I invite up to speak. But you can please feel free to put any questions or comments into the chat box below where we can see them. So we appreciate you being here. So Tina, why don't you give us a little bit more information about who you are before we dive in?
Absolutely. Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here. I think, you know, you touched on who I am and what I do. I am a doctor of physical therapy by education and practice. I've been doing that for, over 25 years now at this point. But I think beyond, you know, what I do, who I am is a mom of three incredible boys ranging from 12 to 21. So you can imagine I'm quite busy with them. And I am recently divorced and kind of trying to figure out who I am and live my best life. I think when I look back at my theme through my life of creativity and kind of how that played into who I am, I have a huge imagination. I am an avid reader, and I always have something in my mind, some visual, some dream, some creative thing going on. And I don't think I ever really appreciated that until I took the time to get to know myself after my divorce. So it's been really exciting to me over the last 3 years to realize how much creativity and exploration was actually kind of hidden and just held back and repressed in me. So it's been very fun to let that side of myself out.
Thank you for sharing all that. And that's amazing. I mean, this is going to be such a rich conversation and talking about exploration and imagination and everything else that comes up. But I love that you touched on that already. So thank you. Okay, so let's do our would you rather question, and then we are going to dive into the first. And I was kind of going back and forth on which one it was going to be today, but I think this is one we're going to do. So would you rather be able to control the weather or talk to animals?
Ooh, goodness. I am a little bit of a control freak. I will admit that because I like to be able to plan. But I also find it fun to kind of adapt to the weather. And so sometimes some of my best adventures have been when the weather has not gone as planned. And in fact, my boys were Boy Scouts. And when they used to report back on trips they had taken, the ones where they had like unexpected snow or rain or heat or whatever were always the best stories. So I think I'm going to go with talk to animals, because I've been dealing with the weather my whole life. And I know I can, and I know it can bring some interesting moments, but I've never had the ability to talk to animals. So I think I'm going to go with that, because I'd love to know. I have a dog. I'm a dog person. I'd love to know like what she sees and what she thinks as compared to what we think they're thinking. You know, I know right now she's thinking about the food that's left on the and we might hear some crashing in the background. It's okay. No animals will be harmed in the process. But yeah, I think talking to animals, all of the different kinds, and seeing the world through their perspective, because I think that's kind of how I am with humans as well. So to add animals to that would be kind of cool.
Wouldn't it?
Would be.
Yeah. Yeah. I love how you touched on this stuff about weather. It's so true. When that stuff kind of happens, So the day that my husband and I were getting married, which was like crazy 31 years ago, there was a hurricane. Uh-huh. And it was October 20th. So there was a hurricane that weekend, and we didn't know if it was going to happen and all this kind of stuff. And areas were flooded out, and it ended up, long story short, that it did happen. We were able to get married outside, and there was like a 2-hour gap before it started pouring again. So the person said, you can get married outside. We did it. And as soon as we walked in, the skies opened up and it poured.
Yeah. They say on your wedding day, it's a blessing. I won't say it didn't bless mine, because it did bless mine. I had a good marriage. I have three beautiful children out of it, but my parents got married in a blizzard. I got married the year 1995 to 96, which was a huge blizzard year here on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. And it was the first year here, and I am originally from California, so I didn't know if I would make it home. We thought my ex-husband's twin brother was going to have to stand in for him.
Oh my God.
He would get out. Yeah, it was very, very interesting. So you never know. Auspicious beginnings, right? But hey, they do make for good stories, right?
They do make for very good stories. And I would love to know what my cats are thinking. I know it's a lot about food and other stuff, but who knows? Who am I to say?
Yeah, right? We assume. I can hear my dog barking down there. She's discussing the fact that she wants leftover dinner with my 12-year-old.
Or she's saying, hey, you don't know what I'm thinking.
That's true. She's like, let me speak. Let me tell the story.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So here we go. So again, I want to welcome everybody that's here live. Thank you so much for being here. Any questions or comments, please put them in the chat box below where we can see them, and we appreciate you. So we are talking all creativity here. So let's dive into the first question, which is, how do you define creativity?
So, you know, all of the times I have gone to write, I do this within physical therapy too. I'm a big fan of going back to the operational definition of things. I don't know. It just, don't give me 500 words on anything. Like I need a topic. I need an anchor. So of course I started writing the chapter in your book, looking at definitions. So, you know, it defined creativity as the use of the imagination or original ideas. And I thought, okay, yeah, I got that. And what I really loved was when I found a definition that said it's a phenomenon whereby somehow something new and valuable is formed. And I really loved that definition. It really like touched me, because I think that so many times we think creativity is equal with being an artist and producing art that, you know, is memorable or marketable or, you know, life-altering. And I think that, you know, sometimes it's tangible. There's a physical object such as, you know, a painting or a picture or a sculpture or words that get created. But I think sometimes creativity is intangible. It's like a thought or an idea. And so I think I just love this word phenomenon, where something new and valuable is formed. I think that just meant a lot to me. And value is defined by each of us, right? You know, my creative thought might not be worth millions, but it might be life altering to me. So I think, you know, creativity is something that we all have, and that I sadly think a lot of times we lose. You know, we have it as children, where we, you know, it's fun, we're creative, we're imaginative, we do all these things because we're fearless and we don't really have that judgment or that filter. And then I think as we get older, we squash that, and our creativity and our drive and our dreams get squashed. And I found it fascinating to me that as I wrote the chapter, there's supposedly four types of creativity: deliberate and cognitive, so in your brain; deliberate and emotional, so dealing with your heart and your emotions; and then there's spontaneous and cognitive, and spontaneous and emotional. And my first draft that I wrote was so deliberate and cognitive, it was boring and it was awful. And I literally finished writing it and I was like, that sucked. That was not fun. That was not what I wanted it to be. And then all of a sudden it was like this spark got lit, and I ended up writing this like spontaneous, emotional, kind of free-flowing thing, which ended up being my chapter, and it was so much more gratifying. So I think that when we, you know, get to have this, we're in a creative environment, or when we support our own creativity, there's a spark of an idea. Hopefully the people around us, or even our internal landscape, we support that in ourselves, and then we put those ideas out and we refine them. And we find these new ideas, these new connections, these new solutions to problems. And I really think it doesn't have to be a piece of artwork that gets created. I think it's truly part of our innate human drive. And like I said, I think sadly, a lot of us lose that as we become adults. And we really need to go back and foster it, because healing and resilience, and it sparks the fun and joy we have in our life, and it provides us opportunities for self-actualization. So I think creativity is really at the base of humanity. It's really part of who we are at our heart and soul of our being, and it's how we express ourselves.
Well, thank you. Thank you for all of that, and completely validating why I started my company. So thank you. But yeah, my company's being I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing. And I, being a an art teacher and teaching, again, it's that whole thing, over 25, it's like 30 years. And when I decided to leave the classroom, I was like, I want to work with adults because of this whole adulting thing. Because we do get so stuck, I see, and it's because I was experiencing it also. We get so stuck on the hamster wheel that we, you know, of paying the bills and family or friends and job and all this kind of stuff, that we deny ourselves what we actually, these ideas that we have, these passions that we have, these interests that we have. Mm-hmm. And because of that, we become bored.
Yes.
And sad. And just, you know, it's the difference between asking somebody, how are you today? And they're like, yeah, I'm good. Like, not just giving you good, but, you know, I did this thing today. It was so much fun. Yeah. Or it was fine. There's a difference in that. And it's not saying that every moment is going to be incredible and life-changing. But at the same time, why couldn't it be?
Absolutely. And I think that's a choice that we have to make for ourselves. And I think it's gaining, you know, what the work that you're doing and helping make people aware of this, and that, you know, I can choose to be creative, and it doesn't mean that my creative endeavors have to be museum worthy. You know, self-actualization is an expression of our own personal lived experience. So if I'm, you know, coloring in a coloring book, or I'm singing in my car because I just love to, God forbid anybody ever hear me, but you know, I just love to, maybe sometime I'll karaoke it. That is on the bucket list. But you know, I think all of that is what brings joy to otherwise our mundane and, like you said, hamster wheel life. And life is to be lived, not to just be survived, you know? And I think that art and creativity and spontaneity and fun is really critical for us.
Yeah. I love that. And I really appreciate what you said about the tangible and the intangible, because that whole thing with it, you know, my saying, one of my taglines is creativity goes beyond a pencil and a paintbrush, that it's this way of being, this way of thinking, this way of living. These ideas, like you said in the beginning, it could be just the spark of this idea. That's where it lives, and it's the way we speak to each other. It's the inner communication, our skills. It's all of these ways that it's the way we go outside and interact with nature, and just all of these. It's everything. Yes. It's in everything that we do. So it doesn't have to be limited to just this one thing of, well, usually people say to me, I can't draw or paint.
Yep.
That's the first reaction.
I shared that with you that, you know, as a mom of three boys who were, you know, they were all Boy Scouts and they were all athletes and, you know, they're very typical male, you know, model prototypes. And, you know, they used to say in school, well, I'm not artistic. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? Like, all three of them are very creative in different ways. And we have this card game that we sometimes use at the dinner table called Table Topics. And you draw a card and it asks a question and it fosters like conversation on just abstract different things. And one of them, the question was, what is art? And there's no right answer. It's everybody's got their own answer. And we went around the table and somebody at our table who was very rigid, who isn't at our table anymore, said that art had to be pretty, had to be something that people liked looking at. And, you know, my kids were very much more of the line of, you know, it could be clay, it could be paper, it could be an idea. It's just any way you express yourself. And I felt like they really had the right idea. And of course, they were thinking of all the different art projects they had done in school. And my older one was starting to get, they're all kind of science and tech and math oriented, but he got into this program in our middle school where it was advanced tech and advanced art. And he realized like car design and, you know, all these other things. It didn't have to be his ability to draw, which he was not good at, or in his mind, he wasn't good at. But we had this catalog called Uncommon Goods that came in the mail. And I handed it to him at dinner. And I said, look at all these different ways that people can be creative. And it was, you know, wood and metal and paper and words and just so many different things. And he was like, wow, this is really cool. And I think that, you know, in terms of the comment about art has to be pretty or beautiful, you know what? I've been in museums in Florence that some of the hallways are just dark and disturbing. And the things that are painted, there's I forget the artist, but she was a female artist who painted, her father claimed most of her works. And there is a famous painting that she painted, and it was a young girl being brutally raped by a bunch of men. And this was her father's peers that did this to her. And, you know, you talk about the healing power of being able to tell your story or to be able to put your pain on a canvas. You know, I hope that helped her get that out of her, you know, and express what she was feeling. And was it pretty? No. Do I wish that for anyone? Heck no. But I'm glad that she had that opportunity to express herself. I think that's really important. Expression.
Yes. Thank you so much for bringing that up, because that healing power is so key in so many different mediums. I mean, because it's true, it's based from emotion. Mm-hmm. So it's because as we're expressive, we're not just being robots like, yes, that's very nice. It's kind of like we're expressing and we're coming from this heart space of wanting to share our stories. Yeah. And they're not all pretty stories. So, but what one person sees is one, it's about perspective too, right? Because how one person views something as sad or pretty is how someone else might see it, like being depressing. I mean, it's all kind of open for discussion in that way.
Definitely. And I think, you know, you look at it, if it's an expression of emotion, you look at the, you know, the emotions wheel and, you know, joy and happiness and pleasure are, you know, three of, I don't know, 3,000 emotions we can feel. And I don't want to color with just three crayons. I want to use them all. You know, I'd rather not feel anger or sadness or grief, but that's part of life. And that's what makes the joy and the happiness and the pleasure, you know, noticeable when you feel it. So I don't think any of us can escape all of those emotions, but certainly being able to express them in full technicolor, I think, is very important.
Oh my gosh, that's so great. It's kind of like going back to the weather almost. Yeah. It's like we want to control these things, but when we kind of, these things that are unexpected and these emotions or whatever can come out, they make the best stories so often.
Definitely.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So tell us a little bit more about what you have, like how you've progressed. So with this whole, like you've been, how long have you been going to school for? let's start there.
Let's see. I'm 49 years old. So I'm going to say 49 years. I'm a student of life. And I think one of my innate core values is curiosity. So I actually am one of those nerdy people who loves to learn and would gladly just keep reading, keep learning, keep earning degrees, keep experiencing things. But technically, let's see, I have a bachelor's degree, I have a master's degree, and I have a doctorate. So however many years that takes you, a lot. And now I teach and I work in academia. So I'm still in that realm. But yeah, I kind of see myself as a student of life. And I just really enjoy learning and new experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what we talked about actually in our pre-talk, which I love, and maybe if you can expand on, because with physical therapy, people come to you or you speak on the topic about, you know, people are having issues with walking or, you know, all these kind of things that they come to you for. But if you could talk to us more about where that actually stems from, besides the actual accident or something that may have happened.
So I think, you know, when people envision physical therapy, you know, we think about an injury to the body. So I have, you know, low back pain or neck pain, or I was in a car accident, or I had surgery, or I have a disease that showed up. And, you know, for the most part, that is usually our primary focus is, you know, what is the physical body doing? But I, you know, kind of why I've been merging more into prevention and wellness coaching is that I just don't see the person as a physical body. I think their heart, their mind, their soul, the relationships they have, how they interact with their environment, what their vocation and their, you know, life role is, their finances, I think their spirituality, all of that is what makes up the entire person. So I think, you know, when somebody has neck pain, you know, we hear these expressions like, oh, they're a pain in the neck, or he's a pain in the ass, you know. A lot of times are undealt with, you know, mental issues or emotional issues or stress issues come out to play in our body. And until we really integrate and deal with that holistic well-being, the physical problem isn't going to change. Or even if it is a physical, you know, a traumatic injury or an accident or something like that, still what is going on in all the rest of your life is what motivates you to get well. You know, it's your reason for being. And so it's what encourages you to get out of bed, get out of the chair, walk another 10 feet, get yourself home, get yourself back to work. It's really, you know, your internal landscape, not really the physical piece. So I very much feel that it's important for us to deal with the whole person and really holistically look at all of those elements of who they are and bring them all to the highest optimal level of wellness and well-being that they can be at, not just the body.
Oh my gosh. I have to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Because within that, got within the medical field, I can say as being a patient, just in general, and this is wider than just physical therapy, but just being, when you have an issue, it's like you get sent from one place to another place, to another place, to another place. Well, that's not the area that I deal with. But it's kind of like, could you just look at me as a person?
Yes.
Yeah. And I was in this amazing clubhouse space where she's so great, Dr. Hisla Bates. And she was talking about what doctors actually do for themselves in order to connect with their own creativity. And it was just such a beautiful conversation. And one of the things that just stands out to me that was said was one doctor, he kind of fell on photography and he just realized how much he loves it. It's just fun for him. And he puts it in his offices. He's not doing it from a space of just like, oh, look at my work, but it's a conversation starter. Mm-hmm. So people are kind of looking at it. It's making them feel a certain way. But when he approaches them, he says, what do you like to do? So he's talking to them as a person and wants to know them beyond just what they're there for.
Yes. And I think that's so critical. And I think the first thing I teach my physical therapy students is it does not matter how much you know until your patients know how much you care.
And oh my God.
Knowing who they are and what's important to them is what's going to help you make that connection with them and help you motivate them and inspire them and educate them and empower them to get back to their life. And, you know, when you look at, Boeing has done studies of return to work, the number one predictor of if somebody goes back to work after a disability claim is not how bad their physical injury is. It's actually whether or not they feel valued and appreciated and love what they do. And I think, you know, a lot of us don't love what we do. Either we have forgotten why we got into it, or we've lost sight of what we enjoy about it, or we're doing something that we just don't really enjoy because we've shoved our passions and our creativity to the side. And I personally don't think life's meant to be lived that way. You know, it's hard enough to get out of bed in the morning, but you know, if I don't love where I'm going or who I'm surrounded by or what I'm doing, it's a whole lot harder. And yes. You know, if you're fighting an illness or an injury and you don't have a reason to be motivated to do the hard work of life or of healing, it's that much harder. So yeah, I think it's really critical for us to get at the heart of the person. You know, what are their beliefs? What are their goals? What are their passions? What motivates them? And then, you know, then we talk about in physical therapy, I think one of my very favorite years in October, it's always National Physical Therapy Month. And we have a different theme every year. But one of my favorite was when I was a new graduate and it was physical therapy, the art and science of healing. And I think that is so true because we have all of these scientific studies and we have all of these things that kind of predicate and dictate what we should do with people. But really it's, you know, we examine them and we collect data and then we evaluate what we think is causing that. And then we have to intervene to help them get better. And it's that creativity, I think, that really makes the difference in engaging the patient in the process and getting them to get their buy-in, to get them to want to participate. And so I think, you know, I never really thought about how much I had to be creative and adaptive to each of my clients to, you know, it's the same exercise, but I'm doing it for a different reason or in a different way or to reach a different goal for people. Yeah. So, you know, there definitely is an artistic kind of, you know, gut level, intuitional, human relational thing that we do that I can't really teach my students. You know, I just tell them they have to trust it and they have to be human.
Yes. Oh my gosh. So important. It is because our intuition, it's huge because you're constantly, like you said, you're adapting these things to this person's individual needs.
Yes.
Because one person's, you know, torn gastric muscle isn't like the other person's torn gastric muscle because of their frame of their body and their height and like all of that kind of stuff, I'm sure.
Yep. Absolutely. And really, you know, we call them contextual factors, but it's like, you know, what are their spiritual beliefs? What are their vocational beliefs? What are their beliefs about healing? What are their beliefs? What are their, you know, their intrinsic and extrinsic motivations? There's so much psychology to it. So yeah, there's so much more to it than just the physical of the body, definitely.
Yeah. Wow. Such a rich conversation. Okay. So I want to welcome the people that are here live. Thank you so much for being here. Any questions or comments, again, please put them in so we can see them. So we are going to kind of move on to the second question, which is, how do you incorporate creativity more into your life, into your own life?
Yeah. So we definitely talked about how I use it a lot in my professional life. And I think, you know, when I, like I said, when I wrote my first draft of the chapter for the book, it was very boring, I must say myself, if I will judge myself. And then, I don't know, I turned it off, and all of a sudden, I turned it off. When I say I turned it off, I turned off my Otter AI. I have a transcription that I use because I often find that my strokes of, I don't know, genius, creativity, words, thoughts come at the most inopportune time. So I will be, you know, transcribing myself while I'm brushing my teeth and whatever. But I don't want to lose the thoughts because I will. But then it was kind of like, I turned it off and I thought, well, that was boring. That sucked. I don't want to read that. And then I just started thinking more about, well, how have I incorporated creativity into my life? And, you know, I think, you know, before my separation and divorce, I was definitely on the hamster wheel, and I was, you know, doing what I was expected to do. You know, I went to school, I fell in love, I got married, I had kids, I got my degrees, I got my job, and I was just, you know, doing whatever had to be done to get through the day. And then I kind of had to stop and pause because I didn't really know who I was. I had met my ex-husband when I was 18, and I had been a dancer, and I had been in a very bad car accident, which ended my dancing career and was how I ended up finding physical therapy as a profession. So things always do happen for a reason. But I really didn't know what I liked or what I thought or what I wanted to do with myself and my time. And especially, I think, as our children start getting older, we start finding ourselves with time and we're like, oh, I was a mother and now I'm still a mother, but I'm not so busy or involved. What else do I like? And I had read the Artist's Way book by Julia Cameron and had taken a course that involved that. And I really started journaling to just kind of get my thoughts down and get through the things that I had been through. And Julia Cameron talked about this concept of shadow artists and people who maybe have some more creativity in them, but they tend to really never make the effort or put themselves out there. And I am an avid reader. I have always been. And I definitely love the component of my teaching that is putting, you know, taking concepts from different people and putting them together. And I realized that I really wanted to start expressing my own ideas. So I started writing, and kind of through my own healing process, I wrote a book called Loved, which was kind of how I determined who I was authentically and trying to figure out how to live a life that I love. And I went on these artist dates where I just started trying different things. Like I did aerial yoga, and I went to art galleries, and I went to a floral arranging class, and I just started doing different things. And what I realized is that I really love meeting new people and having new experiences. And I had known that I liked to travel, but I never really had the opportunity to. So I think that I am just really open to new experiences. I revel in novelty. So meeting new people, traveling to a new place, going to a new restaurant, having a new conversation, reading a new book. you know, sadly, I've had to experience and process many different emotions, but I'm open to that. And so I think that just kind of filling my life with all of that, all of color and emotion and experience is really kind of how I've chosen to live my life. And it has made my life so much richer. You know, the relationships that I have are deeper. The conversations I have are more soul nourishing. The opportunities that have presented themselves to me are just, you know, more and more incredible every day. And so I'm just available for new and different perspectives and just open to things. And so that's kind of, to me, I feel like my whole life has become this process of living creatively, you know, just being open to the new and the different and spontaneous.
I love where you said color, emotion, experience. Mm-hmm. And that you're basically choosing to live your life now instead of basically life just being what it is.
Yes.
And like we have no control, which is actually in calling this particular podcast, let's talk about becoming the author of your life story.
Yeah.
So here it's kind of leading into that where it's taking that control and, but at the same time, not control. It's you're writing your chapter because you're aware.
Yeah.
It's this awareness of living and wanting to live and wanting to experience the emotions. And how you pointed out, like you originally started dancing and then this car accident, which pivoted you. Thank God you're alive and, you know, and all of this. So thank you. I'm very happy about that. But then it put you in your direction to physical therapy. And then where you talked about the artist way and the artist dates and being open to these new experiences, this is one thing that it's always, you know, it's, I'm always trying to say is you're going to make mistakes along the way and that's good.
Yes, like you learn.
Have fun. It's kind of like learning to laugh at yourself.
Definitely. I did not know how to laugh, period. And I did not know how to laugh at myself. I was so serious. And I used to always look at people and think, how come everybody else is having so much fun? And I'm not the fun person. And now I laugh all the time. I laugh at myself. I laugh at other people. I, you know, not really, but you know what I mean? Like I laugh with them, not at them. Life doesn't have to be serious and boring. It does have hard moments. And, you know, I think you choose to live it and you choose to be open to it, but you can't control it. And I think really learning to just be open to it and to surrender and be available to what comes and knowing that you are going to make mistakes. And I always say I like to fail fabulously, but forward. So, you know, meaning I like to fail because I learn something new or I figure out something new. So I fail fabulously. And then from that, it progresses me or moves me forward to the next thing, to the next way I want to try to do it or the next thing I want to experience or the next thing I need to learn. So to me, that's a lesson, not an error, not a failure, not a mistake. You know, it's an opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's really key. And I want to go back to you writing your chapter. So just to make clear, so I'm so grateful that Tina has, so I have a publishing house and she's going to talk about her publishing house. Mine is called Express Yourself Publishing. And my first multi-author book is coming out Friday, September 17th, where we're expanding the societal definition of creativity beyond drawing and painting. And I love how you were talking about when you were first writing, because it's so true. We get stuck in our head because we're like, okay, so this is the topic and this is what it should be about and this is what it means. And I looked up the definition and it's very regimented and very kind of, it's not emotional. It's not like speaking from who you are.
Yeah.
So we write that and then we're like, just like you said, it's like, we're so in our heads, like that sucked. And then you, for me, I know when I get stuck in my head, I like put on music. I just scream at the top of my lungs. I dance around. I go pet the cats. I go talk. I go for a walk. I go make something to eat, like whatever that looks like. And then those downloads start kind of coming. Like you said, which I think is also very important. This is kind of jumping around, but to understand that people learn in different ways, mm-hmm. and to have like your voice recorder while you're brushing your teeth next to you or wherever, because these ideas come whenever they come.
Yes, absolutely.
It doesn't have to just be one modality of just writing it down on paper.
Yes. And I think, you know, so it was funny. Yeah, I told you my first draft was deliberate and cognitive, which that's boring. And then my version that we ended up publishing was definitely more like spontaneous and emotional and just fun. Like, it was a whole new way of writing for me because, you know, academic writing is very boring, which is why I don't want to do it anymore. But I do think, you know, for me, that process of when, you know, if anybody's read Elizabeth Gilbert's book, Big Magic, you know, when that big magic shows up, I know for me, I have to be available for it because my life is so busy. I know they say as a writer, you should schedule time for your writing. Well, that's all well and good if you have a life you can schedule, but I don't. And unfortunately, and I definitely laugh and I joke that I knew I was a writer when I wanted to lock myself in a room and not shower and eat for 5 days because I was spilling out of me. And I was like, children, feed yourself, you know, do that. But I do find that it's important to, I think, allow for time and give yourself that time. So like, I will try to schedule writing time. And if nothing spontaneous is coming, well, then I use that for researching or editing time because at least I'm doing something in my process. But I definitely find that the spontaneity and the inspiration and the creativity often comes to me when I'm not ready for it. So a lot of times I find I wake up in the morning and words are just flowing out of me and I have to just, I could not even type them quick enough if I kept my laptop here. So I just turn on my transcription and I just start talking it out. Or it'll happen, you know, I'm in the shower and I'm like, oh, I got words coming out, you know? So I never want to say no to the magic because it might pass me by and I want to grab it while it's there. And then those scheduled times are when I go back and try to make sense of it. So I think it's important for us to allow for and make time for it in our life, but also not to push it or force it. Because I think when we try to do that, it inhibits us. It makes us feel like we're back on the hamster wheel, having to produce something, you know, at a moment's notice, as opposed to letting it kind of just bubble up and come out when it's ready.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. So what would you say to that person that's like, yeah, great, Tina and Hollis, that sounds all well and good, but I have to get this done. And there's a time frame that it needs to be done in, like in 2 hours and I'm completely stuck. So I have an idea on what I would say, but what would you say to that person?
Well, I mean, I have been in that place myself. You know, I try to block out time, you know, if I have a four week process, you know, I try to block in different times of day, but yeah, sometimes you just got to get it done. And sometimes that's not my best work if I'm working under pressure, but then again, sometimes it is because sometimes in that pressure cooker, you know, that's how diamonds are formed, right? You know, sometimes that pressure or that being forged by fire really brings something out. So I think the most important thing, whether you have leisure time or you're in the pressure cooker, is to just trust yourself, to know that creativity is innately in you. It's part of who you are and it's going to come out. And, you know, the universe, the divine, whatever is going to provide for you. And to just trust the process that today it might be I have time to leisurely explore it. And tomorrow there's a 2-hour deadline and I'm going to meet it and I'm going to give my all and put my heart into it no matter what. That would kind of be my thought or kind of what I tell myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. And I think that for me, I know I do what needs to be. It's like, I know that time limit is there. There's a deadline, but it's kind of at the same time giving myself that grace of, okay, I'm going to go make that drink that makes me feel good. Mm-hmm. So I can be drinking that like smoothie or whatever while I'm creating that. Yes. I'm going to listen to the music. I'm going to take a break when I need to take a break just to walk away for a minute. Yeah. I'm going to do some transcribing of it, like, you know, if it's not all written, to kind of just because I need to move my body. It's kind of coming up with those ways to figure out how to get the information out. But at the same time, like you said, you know it's going to get done. You're trusting the process instead of being like, oh, shit, I have to get this done.
Yes.
This really sucks. God, this is going to be so bad because I have no idea what to do. Well, what's going to happen? Yep. I mean, nothing good is going to come from that.
No, definitely not.
I'm looking to see. Thank you so much for one of the listeners said, in the same way, when the words for my poems come out, the memo function is open before it goes to Canvas. Scheduling doesn't work so well for me.
With that spontaneity as well, but when you force it, it doesn't work, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's really, you get really stuck. So it's a matter of trying to stay in that relaxed space as much as you can. And like you said, a lot of times when you're under fire, that's where, you know, diamonds are made.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like letting it flow. And I, you know, bringing it back to, I just really like the idea, and I can't underline enough the whole thing about allowing yourself to be open, mm-hmm. when you mentioned in the artist dates, because you find out it's because as we become adults, we often, like we're saying, we don't realize what we actually like. So when we just kind of play with it and we try these things and we learn things that we don't like, things that we kind of hate, things that we're like, oh, that's really interesting. I never would have thought that I liked that. It just makes everything the best. I can't stress that enough for people to incorporate that more into their lives.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, really being open, you know, there was a time period where one of my children was in the hospital and, you know, we spent a lot of time waiting around and, you know, I would bring books because that's just my primary thing I do is read. But we also brought coloring books and we had, you know, like the mandala coloring books and just all sorts of things. And we brought, you know, a bunch of markers in and we would sit in the room and we would all end up coloring and we'd be lost in thought. We had some amazing conversations because your mind starts wandering and you're thinking about the color and the design and the relationship. And then it kind of takes your mind off the thing that you're worrying about. And the conversations that we had in those moments were amazingly connecting for us as a family. And, you know, I think when you do those artistic things, it, you know, it does, we know it uses a different part of your brain and our brain is then allowed to, you know, see things from a different perspective, or it takes pressure off of the focus on a problem. And our brain actually forges new connections when we're being artistic, which is, you know, really critical for our vitality in a regular day-to-day basis, but it's critical for brain health and healthy aging. And it's critical for our emotional and mental health as well. So I think I have a friend who uses art as a healing modality, and her business is called My Heart's Remedy. And it's just, I think there's so much that you can express through art and creativity that can allow you to have that release valve or to be that salve for the pain that you're feeling or to help take your mind off of it so you can come at it from a different perspective.
Yeah. Yeah.
I said it, you know, fostered these amazing conversations that we had. So it was great.
Yeah. It's so true because it's like you said, it's that distraction. So here you are talking, you know, just focusing on colors and, oh, God, nothing like that 64-pack of Crayola colors.
Oh, can I tell you a funny story about that?
Yes, please.
I grew up in a family where, I'll just say my parents were very frugal with money. And so every fall, I am a total nerd. I love fall. It's my favorite season. I love
back. Me too.
I love new textbooks. I love a new box of crayons. And, you know, crayons were always on the list. And it would, you know, we just say a box of crayons, and I would beg every year for the 64 box of crayons with the sharpener. And I am a woman who loves color. Like you asked me to paint a wall. I've got the Benjamin Moore fan and I'm trying every color and it has to be the right shade. Like color really, 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 really matters to me. So I might have gotten a box of 12 one year and maybe one year even a box of 24.
Oh, but poor Tina.
No, right? Poor me. Woo, boo-hoo. But I remember when my oldest son, who's now 21 and in the Army, he went for kindergarten and it was, you know, his school supply list and it said a box of 24 crayons and I got him the box of 24 and he sees the box of 64 with the sharpener and he's like, well, why can't I have that? And I said, you can totally have that. And he goes, I can have both. And I said, well, you're going to take the 24 to school because it fits in your little box, but you can keep the 64 at home for coloring. And he was like, really? And I was like, yes. And then I see this specialty tin from Crayola that has the box of 64 crayons and 10 special retired colors in this like total, you know, whatever, celebratory tin for like $6. And I was like, happy back to school for me. I was like 30 something years old and I bought myself my box of 64 crayons. And I think it's probably one of the best investments I ever made in myself.
Oh my God. I love that story. When he's like, can I get that? You're like, hell yeah, you can get that.
And I'm getting my own. Thank you very much.
I love that you did that. And there's a book called Everything You Needed to Know You Learned in Kindergarten.
Yep.
And did you read it?
I have, yes.
Do you remember the chapter where basically it was talking about how to solve, to stop war, which
no.
is to drop Crayola crayons with little, what's it called? I can't think of what it's called, where it falls down and it stops you from falling, like when you jump out of a plane.
A parachute, yes.
Thank you. Wow, that was good. That was like audio. Guess what I'm talking about? So yeah, to put a parachute on a 64 pack of Crayola crowns and just drop them.
I bet we'd be a whole lot happier as a global society. Like, yeah, who would not smile with a coloring book and a box of crayons?
Who would not smile?
I don't. And if you don't smile, if you get that, then you're a sociopath, and then we have problems. That's right.
It's true. It's true. But when you were talking about just that, before we move on to the third and last question, because we're getting to the top of the hour, but when you were talking about just that connection, I think that's really important to talk about and just highlight as well, that here you were in a space where it could be a stressful situation, but you each had, and in this case, you decided to be, you know, a coloring page, mm-hmm. and you were focused on picking the colors that you wanted and that kind of thing, which brought happiness. And because there's that kind of meditative state.
Yes.
And just kind of not the eye contact, just kind of being in there, then it just really promotes and opens you up for conversation.
Definitely a creative conversation.
Yeah. Creative one. Imagine that. But again, with the emotions, so key.
Yes, absolutely.
So Tina, tell us a little bit about your publishing company before we move on to the third question.
Sure. So I have two businesses. One is the Key to Wellness, which is really focused on that holistic sense of well-being. And I have a Love Your Life program, which we explore all things that comprise kind of this joyful life of well-being. So we do a lot with creativity, but, you know, a lot of looking at your heart, your mind, your body, your soul, your relationships, your environment, your finances, your vocation or life role. And then out of that, I kind of realized that, you know, this story that we tell ourselves, you know, the story we tell ourselves of our past about why we're broken or why we're not healed or why we're unhappy or why we're miserable. You know, we get stuck in the past or we tend to what I call future trip, where we get anxious and we worry about the future and we tell ourselves stories about, you know, what's going to go wrong or what's going to happen or, you know, and we fail to live, I think, in the present. So we get busy being this human doing and we're rerunning those old stories and we're rewriting these worrisome future stories. And I think it's very important for us to to be honest with ourselves and to be present in our current story, you know, and be a human being and be in the moment and be willing to be open to what is in our life and kind of co-create with the universe the life that we want to live, this life of wellness. And so I, you know, kind of in my own healing process, I wrote a solo book called Loved because I wanted to feel loved. And I thought that that required somebody to pick me, choose me, validate me. And kind of along the way, what I really came to learn was that I was loved all along by myself. And that I think that's really where we need to be grounded in. And so I think, you know, from my training as a healer, as a physical therapist, and adding in this holistic wellness piece, I think, yes, everybody needs a box of 64 crayons. And I think everybody really needs to heal and love themselves. Because I think if we are satisfied and self-loving, we're not going to be looking at what other people have or be fighting with what other people, because we're going to be grounded and secure with ourselves. So I think on an individual level, it's very important for us to rewrite our own life story with ourselves as the main character, following our dreams and using that creativity to create the life that we want to live. So looking into how I wanted to publish my own book, whether I wanted to go the traditional publishing route or self-publish, I realized that all of the traditional publishing houses are male-owned, and I realized that I wanted my story out there quicker so it could help people like me learn to heal and learn to love their life sooner. And I decided I wanted to self-publish it. And in the process, realized that I could learn this publishing business myself and open my own publishing house, which is how the Key Publishing started. And so my book, I've decided I'm going to hold until January. So I'm going to launch my own solo book in January. But my first multi-author book is titled Authentic, and it's the story of courageous humans who changed their life by rewriting their story. And I've just got some amazing people in this book who have, you know, looked at the life they're living and looked at how they wanted to rewrite their story and change the outcome, you know, write a new chapter, write a new book, make it different, make it their own, make it authentic. And so that will be coming out in November, and I still have some spots for authors if people have an authentic, courageous story that they are ready and willing to share. I would love to support them with that. But that's kind of how I got into the publishing business. So I think we really, can heal ourselves when we can get clarity on our story and when we can let go of the weight of the past and when we can let go of the fear that we have for the future and when we can really live in the present and recognize that the story that's being written is, we're part of it. We're the author of it. So.
Okay. Oh, so much wisdom. So let's get to the third question, which is basically all that we've been talking about, but it kind of puts it in a box and puts a nice little bow on it. So why do you think creativity is important?
I absolutely believe that creativity, like I said earlier, is part of who we are innately as a human. And so I think that if we're suppressing whatever form of creativity our soul is longing to create, we're suppressing a vital part of ourself. And so I think that, you know, it is something we're born with. And it doesn't have to be museum worthy, like I said, but it does have to be given space to grow, and it does need to be encouraged and nurtured and celebrated. So I think that for us to be more creative, to explore our world, to be willing to go, you know, wide and try new things, but also go deep into the things that really interest us and draw us in, to be open and playful, to, you know, hear those big magic ideas when they come to us and capture them and share them and to be available for new and different perspectives from other people. really is going to allow that magic to show up in our life and let us have a life that we really love to lead, you know, that is fulfilling and is enjoyable and is pleasurable. And I think that there's nothing more important than that. You know, who wants to just live a life? Let's live our whole life, you know, let's really enjoy it.
So on that note, Tina, can you please tell people how they can find you?
Sure. I am, let's see, on the internet, I am www.thekeytowellness.net. On Instagram, I am at thekeytowellness.tina. I'm on Facebook as Christina with a K, Tickler, which is my maiden name. Yes, go ahead and laugh. I was Tina Tickler growing up. Imagine that. A lot of creativity there. Jokes. But I'm Christina Tickler Welsom. I also have a Facebook page, Dr. Christina Tickler Welsom. Trying to think where else you can find me. I feel like I'm everywhere. I'm on LinkedIn as, I think, Christina Welsom. I probably should simplify all of this and make it one thing. But I'm pretty easy to find. So some version of Christina Tickler being the maiden name, Welsom with one L. And everybody calls me Tina because, I don't know, they just did. So I'm Tina.
Well, you know what, Tina, this has been an amazing hour talking to you. I am so grateful that you have taken this hour to speak with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. And I am so excited for this book to come out and to see all the other creative expressions of all the other authors. It's a beautiful cover. It's a beautiful idea. And I can't wait to get my hands on it so I can read all the goodness that's in it, which I'm sure will spark some new ideas of creativity within me as well.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I'm so grateful that you're a part of it. And this launch date is going to be Friday, September 17th. So please be sure to go to Hollis Grow Citron on Facebook and follow all that information. Or you can just reach out here in the comments and say, I would like to know more. Also, you want to find out, you have to talk to Tina, and you need to get her solo book that's coming out in January, Loved, and the multi-author book that's coming out. Did you say November?
November, yeah.
Authentic. Yeah. Yes. And there still are spots in that if anybody is looking to tell their story. So please reach out in the questions or comments, and we can always get back to you that way before this is officially published. So I wish you let me do my official closing. Sorry. Okay. So this space is all about connecting, inspiring, and sharing stories. So please like, follow, and share so we can spread the goodness, because we have always needed this, but we especially need this in these times to be able to lift each other up and inspire each other. So very grateful to you all. I wish you a good morning, a good afternoon, a good evening, wherever you are in this world. And we'll be connecting really soon. So goodbye, everybody.
Good night. Thank you.
Feeling inspired? There are so many ways to do things for you, to get yourself moving, to get your creative juices flowing, and to have fun. Check out I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing. Go to iamcreativephilly.com, iamcreativephilly, PHILLY.com, and check out the experiential kits. Check out Creative Shway, which is all about creative inspiration and guidance. And for Express Yourself Publishing, there's so many multi-author book opportunities. So I would love to chat with you so much. Everybody's creative. Everybody has a voice. Everybody has an expression. And I can't wait to meet you. Thank you so much for taking this hour to listen to our stories and share the energy. And I wish you a wonderful morning, afternoon, evening, wherever you are in this world. Bye, everybody.